Amen. Good to be with you guys. Going to be bringing you the word tonight. I'm going to be recording this for you as I'm not going to be able to be live during the meeting we have on Sunday night. But I hope to share the word that I am to share with you. Thank you for being patient with me of late. I have not been feeling well, and I have been battling COVID, etc. And yesterday and today are really the only days my throat and my voice has really come back well enough to minister. But I promised that I would share God's word with you this weekend. Last week I couldn't even say anything. I was coughing and hacking so much. But the Lord's bringing me through this. I'm so thankful I was vaccinated, and God is preserving, and God is bringing me through. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for his goodness. We are going to be looking in the Word of God to the book of Deuteronomy. Thank you guys for everybody pitching in and doing the things you always do at Covenant. Thank you for family business getting done and accomplished. And even though I have not been too available for everything, the Lord has touched. So I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your grace. And I'm thankful for Father's mercy. Amen. But turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. Notice those three things, okay? Learn them, keep them, and do them. You should probably notate that and write that down if you have a notebook, as very important pieces to this lesson. But the Lord has made a covenant with us, and that covenant with us wants to help us to learn the things of God, to keep them, and to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of here alive this day. So it's just not a covenant from the past. It's just not a covenant that could be considered by the fathers. It is a covenant with us today. We live in a new and everlasting covenant. And God's covenant is real today. It's a living covenant. It's a covenant that says he will meet with his people and share with his people and guide his people as we walk together in the Father's love. Also turn, if you will, to verse 12 and 13 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Notice what it says, that the commandments of the Lord are for our good. You know, sometimes we look at the Word of God and we look at the things of God and the covenant he's given us, and we don't look at it in the way we should. We sometimes look to it as God is dictating us things to do, but is it really for our good? But I want you to know, as we know that he is the good shepherd, and he guides us and leads us, as David so aptly put it in Psalm 23, we are the people who know his name and we know his voice. And if we follow after him, we know his intentions are good and his love never fails us. What are some of the things spoken of in these two verses that we need to take notice of? Beside the fact that we need to understand that to keep his commandments is important and that they're for our good. It is this. Look at verse 12. To walk in all his ways. Okay? To fear the Lord. To love him. To serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. Let's look at the first thing that God talks about here in verse 12, and that would be that we should learn to fear the Lord or have respect for the Lord. It is important to have respect to those who have leadership over you. And in our lives, if we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, there is a respect factor that needs to be there and an understanding of his lordship in every way, shape, and form. And when we revere him and honor him like we should in worship and praise and demonstration of life, God ministers and blesses us. But when we disrespect God, when we show slight to his word, when we consider the things of God optional instead of a directive from on high that tells us, hey, walk in these precepts and you're going to be blessed, we find ourselves on the opposite side of God's grace. What do I mean that we fall on the opposite side of God's grace? We don't have his protection and grace and mercy in his sheepfold because we're walking outside the parameters of his lordship. And we are divided in our hearts in a sense of not being obedient and reverent to the things of God. I don't like to see disrespect by children and others, and I don't like to see disrespect by the people of God towards those who are in authority. And when it comes to the Lord, we should even more so be very cautious, because the Lord is slow to anger, but he's not forever. Forever. In a position of never getting angry. And he forgives and is long-suffering, but he's not forever suffering. Okay? God does have a breaking point, in a sense. And if I'm you, I don't want to test him on that, and vice versa. Amen? Amen. We don't want to test God on that. There needs to be a reverence. There needs to be respect for God and the things of God. When you go into the house of God, when you consider the things of God, when you consider the people of God, you need to have a holy respect. I had a dear pastor's wife that, was very respectful towards the things of God and would get upset with me even if I placed something on top of my Bible. They thought that was disrespectful. When you go to the house of God, she also felt that you need to wear your best clothes if at all possible. She wanted those little things because she wanted us always to give our best to God in showing that we really respect and honor him. Hallelujah. Wherever you are in God, it is important to know that you need to revere and honor him. Okay? I have loved the pastors that I have been a part of in ministry and as well in my own personal life. In as being my shepherds personally, even those who I have yielded myself to be under, even as I am your shepherd here at Covenant of Grace, that I have those who I esteem highly and speak into my life. And I have chosen to be that way because I'm not a lone ranger, and there's nothing about the kingdom of God being a lone ranger or being a person on their own or individual in a sense. I don't have that prerogative. I don't have that privilege, just as you don't. Amen. But we need to revere and honor those who have the rule over us. There are times when I disagreed with my pastors. There are times when I've disagreed with what I should do when they've spoken to me. But you know something? I went and did what they told me to. And usually it was for my benefit. Sometimes I never really understood the mechanisms of it until many years later. But if I honored God's shepherd and honored the things of God, I was usually in pretty good shape. But when I just kind of ignored or said, well, maybe that's not too important, or, you know, maybe I could just go ahead and do this, you know, I got myself in trouble. And you will too. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. And if it's God's word that has been disseminated to you and the attributes, principles, and things of God, it is something that needs to be respected. At one time in my ministry, I had a pastor who was a real conservative pastor. Hallelujah. But a man I really, really loved. Now, you know, Brother Boston is somewhat liberal in some ways. Hallelujah. When it comes to some things. But not when it comes to things of God, in a sense. But yet, just in the ways of being progressive. But when I was in Great Bend, Kansas, I had a pastor who was extremely conservative. And he was extremely conservative but had the heart of love and grace that you would hardly ever see from anybody. And I've never seen too many pastors and people that I've been around who had the same depth of love and grace that this man had. And that guy, he could preach against anything and you'd follow it. Because, you know, he preached with conviction. He preached with deference to the things that were of this world and wanting to walk after the things of God. And, hey, thus saith the Lord, man, you walked in it. And Brother Ellis was a man I totally, absolutely respected. When he came to come visit me in Connecticut many years later, preaching and being the assistant pastor at Calvary, he preached in many churches in Connecticut at that point. And I would get him hooked up to be with certain preachers, whatnot, and he'd go and share with them. And what each and every one of those pastors said to me is, wow. You know, it wasn't a flamboyant, powerful, charismatic, super-duper preacher kind of thing this guy was when it came to preaching extemporaneously. But it was the matter of love, steadiness, care, and pastoral devotion that he shared with each church that let them know this man had a shepherd's heart. And as he ministered to congregation after congregation, he would minister in a way that many pastors told me, we can never say that. They can never do that. They would never, but they've wanted to say it for years. They wanted to, but they didn't, because they didn't feel like that reverence or authority or place that they could do so. But just because of his demeanor and walking in the grace of God and the love that just came forth from Brother Else, people received and accepted that word. Even sometimes when it was harsh. Hallelujah. You know, there's something to be said for a man or woman of God who loves the Lord, just totally shows the love and the mercy of God and does so in a way that has the right spirit. And if you do things in the right spirit, you do things in the right attitude, people might listen to you. But when people feel driven, when they feel pushed, when they feel prodded, when they feel judged, and it's not coming from the right spirit, it's not going to be respected. And so we as leadership need to show forth the love of God in a way that shows it in that kind of dimension of love that corresponds to the Father's heart and can minister to those around about us. Okay, I better get moving on. I could stay on this subject for a while. You know, I love Brother Ellis, and I have some great pastors, and I could sit here and give you stories of how they ministered and mentored me, and sometimes it was uncomfortable, but that's for another day. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to understand, respect the Lord, and respect ministry, respect the shepherd. To walk in all his ways and to love him. To walk in all his ways and to love him. It doesn't say to walk in some of his ways. It doesn't say to do whatever you feel like doing. But to walk in all his ways and to love him. I'm not given a provision where there's a bunch of exemptions in the covenant of God. I'm sorry. As a preacher, a pastor, etc., you don't have it either to tell people or et cetera, or teach your people or congregation. There's not a bunch of exemptions in the word for your congregation or for one another. You need to be able to preach the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God. If you're afraid of certain books of the Bible, if you're afraid to teach some certain things, you need to maybe go back and say, hey, okay, why can't I teach this? What makes me uncomfortable with this? Father, help me to understand, okay? But we need to walk in all his ways, what his ways are for each and every one of us. Amen. Sometimes you don't want to confront certain things. Sometimes you just don't want to deal with some things. Some things are just hard to take upon yourself. But if it's of the Lord and the example is being given to you, then walk in it and let God show you how he might clothe you with it. Let God show you how he might clothe you with it. Put on that garment of praise. put on that garment of sacrifice. Put on that garment of witness. Put on that garment. Get where I'm going here? Give God the chance to show you how you can walk in the way. Amen? But sometimes we don't give God that opportunity, and we cut him off. And I don't know why we do that, but we seem to. When we're uncomfortable with it, or we kind of look at the scriptures like we do a lot of things in life, well, it is optional. There is an exemption. Oh, that was then. That's not today. Okay? There might be certain things about the old covenant, different things that we don't follow after today and aren't intended for us. But the spirit thereof and other things might be something we need to consider. Okay? Amen. So we need to walk in the Lord's ways and to love him. And to love him. What does it mean to love the Lord? Okay, when you love somebody, what does it mean? Okay, devotion. Dedication. Absolute sacrifice. An affection, okay? There's a lot of different things. But love in all that it is likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is agape love. And his love was willing to give it all. Not hold anything back when it came to the relationship of his people. And we, that kind of devoted love is something that is cherished. And we need to share God's love to this generation, even as we share it with one another. Amen? And not hold back that love, because that love is what makes the difference. You can sit here till you're blue to your face and tell people about the doctrines of the church, guys. Oh, well, you know, this is a church. We believe in this, that, and the other thing. Okay. Good. All right. Now, what does that mean to me? Well, we sometimes just say, well, this is it. And we try to say, this is what God says to do. And we don't share God's word in a way, our agape lifestyle in such a way that people take hold of it and see it embraced and shown to the world. If you're willing to preach it, you better be able to live it. And you better be able to live in such a way that people are drawn to it. Because if it's of the Lord, people will be drawn to it. But if it's not of God, and it's just your word, it's just your conviction, it's just your doctrine and not God's. I could get into something, but we're not going to get into it today, church. That's for another message. You're going to be in trouble. I've been in churches where some of the pastors had some weird teachings on prophecy. It had nothing to do with the word of God. It was just their opinion. They didn't preach it as God's opinion. And then they had some different rules and et cetera for their saints. And it had nothing to do with the word of God. But it just fancied their comfort zone. It fancied their comfort zone. Even in the midst of all sometimes the tough preaching that I would get from my conservative pastor brother else, he had a word for it, and it was rightly in line, and he had a purpose in it, and he could explain it. Come on now, church. And I want you to know today, we need to walk in the love of God, and if we bear forth the love of God in the way that it's supposed to be, people say, hey, great, because you care for me, and vice versa. I don't tell my kids not to play with fire for the sake of not playing with fire. I tell my kids not to play with fire because they're going to get burnt and it's going to hurt. And they get maimed. Hallelujah. Explain it. Show it. Protect them. Amen. Let love rule. And let our love rule one to another. And bear forth the love of God. And God will show forth his glory. Amen. Okay, so reverence the Lord, walk in all his ways, love him with all your heart and soul and being, and to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So we're supposed to love him and to serve him. So when you walk in love, you're supposed to kind of carry over and serve him in that love. To serve him with all our might, soul, and being. This isn't a part-time job. Serving the Lord is an everyday event. And every day we're just trying to live for him and honor him and glorify him. Hallelujah. I want to serve the Lord. I want to give him honor. There's nothing I get a better kick in than loving God and serving God. There's a lot of things in this world that are enjoyable. I like soccer, or what I call football. I like songs and singing and ministry and so on. There's a lot of things in life that I enjoy playing chess. Okay. All right. But the word of God, the things of God, the worship of God's people, getting lost in praise and worship. The other day, in the midst of this COVID thing, I've been battling. I found myself one afternoon, I just needed the Lord. And I just found myself lost in His Holy Spirit, allowing His word to bathe over me. And I just was so blessed. I felt so close to God. I want you to know, guys, that those are the kind of things I really cherish more than silver, gold, or any such thing. I wish I could tell you I've attained to a life of great wealth or something else, but I haven't. But what I've done is I've tried to serve out my life in the Lord. And I've tried to preach His word, tried to minister to you and share God's love and care one for another and follow Him. Hallelujah. And there's been good days and there's been bad days. But you know something? I keep on trying. I keep on working at it. I keep on trying to go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. So serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. And then finally, to keep His commandments. To keep His commandments. I want to be a keeper of the covenant. How about you? I want to be a keeper of the covenant. We have such a sometimes low regard of an understanding of what covenant is when it comes to the word and what it means to us. And, you know, it's not just the Holy Scriptures. It's not just the word of God. It is a covenant. It is something bound to us when we become believers in Christ. And this word we are supposed to be bound to and to live out of our lives in such a way that it honors Him. And He's bound to that covenant as we are bound to the covenant. So if He says, I'll provide for you all that you have need of, He's going to provide all that you have need of. If He says He's going to heal your body, He's going to heal your body. You know, you get my drift? The covenant has a reciprocity about it between you and God. And if we share with God our love and we serve Him and honor Him, He blesses and ministers to us a long way because there's covenant promises. Get to know the covenant promises. So many of us know the do's and don'ts, but sometimes some of us don't know what the blessings of God are and how they operate in this covenant relationship. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. They entitled this lesson, Justice and Obedience. I don't know if that's the right title for it or not, but that's the title they have for our lesson this week. Verse 1 of chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of the fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings there on unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou shalt become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do His commandments and His commandments, which I command thee this day. Commandments I command thee with this day. A certain fable depicts a story of a kite and its owner. The kite enjoyed being taken outside and flying high above the ground, but the kite could go only as far and high as the length of its string. One day the kite began to complain about its lack of freedom. "It isn't fair for me to be held back by my owner's string. If only I could break loose from him, I could go wherever I wanted." Soon after, the kite's wish came true when the string broke. For a few moments, the kite relished its newfound freedom, but a sudden strong gust of wind came along, and the kite soon found itself unable to control the flight. Before long, the wind swept the kite into a tangle of tree limbs. The briefly free kite now hung captive. The freedom of the kite, longed for and wanted so badly, was eventually its ruin. God's requirements in His Word are for our benefit. He knows how far we should go. He knows where we can fly. He knows where we should be. He knows where our freedoms have their limitations. And He has our best interests at heart. He intends that we accept His will as our own so that we might become a blessing for the world. As we look at this lesson, as we look at these scriptures we've talked about today, we're reminded of those edicts of God and great places in history where He brought about His word and talked about His covenant. We look at it, we might look and say, "Oh, well, here's the do's and the don'ts of the Lord." No. These are relational attributes of covenant that are being spoken about that we should ascribe to if we're to honor the Lord with our whole soul and being, to revere Him. To love Him. Amen. To fear Him. To love Him. To serve Him. To walk in His ways. To keep His commandments. But Lord, why can't I, you know, do this or that? You know, not always does God give me a perfect explanation. But He might reveal some things to me that shows me, maybe it's not as good as I think it might be. Over on the other side, or extended in this, quote, freedom I think I want to attain. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. That is an appropriate title for that book, as it is the second instance of God giving of God's law to Israel, the first time being to the generation of the Exodus from Egypt. Israel's long journey to the promised land of Canaan had come to its climax as the people arrived east of the Jordan River, Deuteronomy 1:1. The previous generation of Israel, prevented from entering the promised land, had perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Deuteronomy details Moses expounding on God's law to Israel and his farewell address to a generation on the verge of entering into the promised land. A generation that was about to go in to the promised land. Wait a minute here, God. So to enter into the promised land, I've got to do this? If you want to enter into this promised land, if you want to go into where the blessings are, if you want to flow and see the grass grow and the fruit and the power of God, you've got to remember these principles. Okay? You got to remember these principles. Okay, and we talked about it, didn't we? Love the Lord with respect. Walk in His ways. Loving Him. Serve the Lord with all our heart and soul being. And keeping His commandments. If you'll do those things, the promises of God are yours. Hallelujah. Canaan's land is for you, man. But you can't go in if you're not going to follow the covenant principles. You're not going to enter into the blessing of God until you pay the sacrifice. Okay, you got it? Jesus had to pay a sacrifice for us so that we could enter into the promises of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. He had to pay a sacrifice at the cross. And so there is a sacrifice. We must die out that we might gain. that which he has for us. Okay? You with me, church? God desired that Israel be known as a people well acquainted with his righteous standards. He expressed that desire to, in terms of a covenant. And the covenant served as the formal agreement between God and his people, describing how Israel was to live as a holy people and how God committed to making Israel his people. God is committed to make you his people. Hallelujah. He's committed to it. He wants it. He can't wait for it. Hallelujah. You're not just another people. You're not just a group. You're my people. Hallelujah. That's what God's committed to. He's committed to you. He's committed to me today. Amen. Covenants were not unique to ancient Israel. Other ancient Near Eastern cultures and used similar legal agreements, often made between a more powerful kingdom and a lesser kingdom. These agreements often included a historical narrative detailing the history between the parties, stipulations for the submission of the lesser party, and curses or blessings for the disregard or obedience of the previously, let's say, mentioned stipulations. For pagan cultures of antiquity, and covenants provided legal precedent for how parties were to relate to one another, especially if a power differential was present. Okay, so covenants had stipulations. Covenants had this different blessings and curses. Covenants had things that people had to abide by so that the relationship could be correct or rightly drawn. Amen? Throughout Israel's history, God made several covenants with his people. Each detailed a different aspect of his commitment to and his expectations for the people of Israel. And this is one of those covenants. The second one we're speaking of, what's talked about here in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's consider a binding covenant for a moment. A binding covenant. Okay? Verse 1 of let's chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, okay? Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, keep them, and do them. That you might learn them, keep them, and do them. I told you to remember that and to write that down, okay? When it comes to God's covenant, we need to learn it, we need to keep it, and do it. And there's blessing in repetition and considering the word and practicing this and living out these truths of God's word each and every day so that it becomes a part of us. Hallelujah. There's nothing better than walking up in proper training in the Lord. No matter what it is you're trying to learn, the more you do it, the more you repeat it, the more you progress in it, the more you become adept at it. And so it is with the covenant and the principles of God and working out the word of God and seeing God at work in you. Amen. Throughout Deuteronomy, the command to hear draws the focus of Israel. But the command is more than a call to hear. It challenges the audience to live in obedience to that which is heard. Okay? Obedience begins by hearing and continues through proper active response. Okay, hearing and continues through proper active response. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you go about and do what you are prescribed to do, God's going to bless you. But if you go about and just hear God's word and are not doers of it, there is no blessing in covenant. There's no getting into the Canaan's land. There's no getting into the promises of God. You're going to always be frustrated, so to speak. Okay? The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb, it says. In the scriptures here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses reminded Israel of where they had received God's law. Elsewhere, scripture uses the names Horeb and Mount Sinai interchangeably as its destination or location. Now, a generation later, Moses recalled that moment when God made a covenant with Israel. This covenant reminded Israel of God's great acts of salvation and called Israel to live as a people of God, walking after the light of God in the reality of his word. Okay? He was making a new covenant just before they're going to enter in to the promised land of God. He's making a new covenant. He's putting together a greater understanding of the old order of things with this revelation of the second covenant and bearing witness of something that is going to be powerful in their hearts and lives. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day, the scripture says. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, okay? He's making it with us today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. Today is the hour of service of the Lord. And God wants to make his covenant fresh to you today. And he wants you to know that this is a living covenant. And if you walk in this word and you talk this word and you live this word and you get out and do this word, great things happen. God happens. He ministers. He's there. Hallelujah. You're the apple of his eye and he loves you. Hallelujah. And he wants to minister his love to this generation through you. This covenant was not merely an event for Israel's previous generations. Its stipulations also apply to their current and future generations, a communal component to God's generations that he was going to work through in transcending those generations. All Israel was bound by the covenant, even those not yet alive when it was given. Moses invited hearers to draw on collective memory and to live as a people unified as a covenantal people. I didn't just make up the name Covenant of Grace Ministry and Fellowship for my gagas and goo-goos. I made a covenant with God a long time ago. And covenant has become real. And understanding covenant and its bounding force and the grace of God. And that I'm committed to him and he is with me. And if you share in this covenant and understand the word of covenant and understand the grace of covenant, God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. And you can walk in the promises of God. That if you live by his word and honor his word, the goodness of God will outflow. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 12. Look at verse 12, guys. Chapter 5, I believe. No, chapter 10. Am I in chapter 10? Let me double check. I got to make sure I'm in the right scripture I want here. Yeah, I'm in chapter 10. Okay. Boy, for a minute there, I thought it was in another chapter. And now, Israel. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Having confronted the people with their record of idolatry and rebellion, Moses set before them a rhetorical question that forced self-reflection to determine how best to live as a people of God. Centuries later, the prophet Micah would ask the same question of Israel. Both Micah and Moses were concerned with following God's law and ways. For Micah followed God's law meant to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before the Lord. Micah 6:8. While Moses had a different focus, their respective answers were complementary, not contradictory. Following God's law implied a desire for justice and mercy. So first we talk about a binding covenant in Deuteronomy 5. Now we're talking basically about basic duties here in Deuteronomy 10. Amen. Look at verse 12 again. Okay, verse 12 again. Grab it again here. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Okay? One, we've talked about it. We need to fear the Lord. Respect the Lord. Clear answer to our duties. Two, to walk in all his ways. Second duty, okay? Third, and to love him. Okay? Then next, fourth, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then finally, number five, to keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command thee this day for your good. Moses concludes by stressing the importance of obedience to the Lord. His commandments and statutes did not exist to frustrate God's people. Instead, they were graciously given to his people for their good. God promised to bless his people as long as they obeyed his commands. Okay? So remember, his word are his instruction to us. At work, do you like to get instruction before you're asked to participate or to do something at work? Where a responsibility is there, where you're going to have to take ownership thereof? You'd like instruction, right? You'd like to be able to have a what's up and what's going on and how do I get it done to be able to accomplish the job correctly. That's what God gives us in his word. He gives us the ability through his word to be able to take his instruction and to be able to walk in the grace of God and to see victory and to be able to see the successful application of that which the Lord wants to have done in our lives. Amen. Do not get to the place in your lives where the instruction of the Lord is meaningless or it gets old hat or, well, I've heard that before or, well, you know, good enough, but whatever. There's no whatever. God's word is good and it's the same just like he is yesterday, today, and forever. His word is forever settled. And so his word and walking in it has consequence and blessing. It has consequence and blessing. There's blessing or there's curses. Depending on how you walk in it. Amen? And I want to be one of those people who listen to the Lord's instructions. I can't tell you how many times in jobs that I've had as a manager, etc., that I've given instruction about how to do something, and then all of a sudden the person comes up to me and they say, well, it didn't work. I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on. And I go over there and I start working on it and it's like they never listened to me. I told them exactly what to do, even demonstrated it and it didn't work. And, oh, it was okay if I did it. So I just did it. And you will find too many people in your walk with Christ who want to do just that. Oh, didn't work. I don't understand what you're talking about. You're going to have to show me again. At some point, they've got to learn it on their own. But too many people are looking for the bailout spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and in other things in life. And you can teach them the lesson time and time again, and they don't seem to get it. Sooner or later, they're going to be on their own. And sooner or later, they're going to have to make or break it. And you got to pray for them. That they'll take hold of the instruction and finally get it. But be careful about those who just constantly wear you out and you're doing it for them all the time. It'll burn you out spiritually. It'll burn you out on your job. It'll burn you out in your household. You got it? Come on now. People are intrinsically lazy. Come on. I hate to tell you, sometimes sheep are lazy. Hallelujah. Come on. You're laughing or smiling there. I can tell. Okay now. But it's true. But God has a way. God has a way. And if you honor him, his word will bless. But there comes a time where you can't carry it on your back. You can't pull them through it. They've got to make it on their own. Children, you can help them and protect them all you want. But sooner or later, hopefully they've got these instructions of the Lord. Hopefully they've got a hold of the good nuggets of God's word. And sooner or later, they'll make it their own. And they'll own it. And they'll live it. And they'll know him. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, that I might understand who I am owned by today. And that if I serve you and honor you, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, there's broader instructions in God's word. And let's look at, and we're going to close with Deuteronomy 27, verses 1 through 10, and some broader instructions. So we've had, an understanding of the binding covenant, basic duties. And now here's some broader instructions for you guys in God's word, considering justice and obedience and blessings and cursings, etc. Okay? And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them upon with plaster. And thou shalt write them upon all the words of this law. And when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth me. Lord, I want to go into that land. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord God of our fathers, it is a promise to us. Therefore shall be when we go over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron or tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereunto unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord of God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of the Lord very plainly. In other words, don't hold back anything. Write all the law, all the writings, all the testimony of the Lord right there, plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do this commandment and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Command you this day. Moses would not be alive when the people of Israel entered the promised land. Okay? Therefore, this address sets the stage for him to transfer his leadership responsibilities. Israel would soon enter the promised land under Joshua's direction. So he was handing off the baton. Moses reminded the people of the necessity of keeping God's commandments. And the commandments were binding. The commandments were binding, not only in the immediate moment, but also as Israel possessed the land. So it wasn't just for today, but was for tomorrow as you enter into the promises of God. Moses described a yet-to-occur ceremony in which Israel would commemorate its covenant with God. After Israel shall pass over Jordan unto the land, they were to remember God's covenant and renew their obligation to obey his commands. Well, it's possible the ceremony happened on each day they crossed the river. It was more likely that Moses was referring to a general time afterwards. The practice of using stones to record words of law was a popularized ancient culture custom. The Egyptians and others followed after it. Whereas these cultures did so, they would carve words of law on wood, etc., and also on whitewashed stones. To write every line of the law in this manner would constitute a project too large to be practical. One possibility is that the Ten Commandments, which provided a kind of constitution for Israel, were written on the stones. Others note that perhaps the law's blessings and curses were written, reminding Israel of the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Previously, the Lord thy God had promised to Moses that he would bring Israel unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know something? In the midst of going to that land of milk and honey, there was always a sacrifice that was going to have to be made. That sacrifice was that there were going to be those who would be left behind. There would be others falling through into this new and everlasting covenant, this covenant of the promised land and a place a blessing. And there would be those who would lose out, not falling after those covenant provisions, or who were kept back for various reasons. But it is there in this land. And as you walk with God, you learn to raise up altars. Israel was to build an altar made of stones for the worship of God. Previously, God told Israel that any tool used on the altar would cause the altar to be polluted. The prohibition of using an iron tool may be linked to the pagan religious practices of neighboring people, such as the Canaanites. Israel's altar was to be wholly different from the altars of the false gods. As no iron tool could be used on the stones of the altar, they were whole and uncut. Upon this altar, the Israelites presented their burnt offerings to the Lord thy God. During these offerings, an entire animal is burned on the altar, symbolizing the complete surrender of the worshiper. Peace offerings, they were all supposed to be used. Burned only a portion of a sacrificed animal, remaining portions were to be used by the worshipers in what amounted to a fellowship with God meal. Provided a time for Israel to rejoice before the Lord as the meal reminded them of God's presence and faithfulness. These acts of worship were to be acts of celebration. The previous instructions are repeated, thereby stressing the importance of the words of this law. The Hebrew phrase translated very plainly describes the act of engraving words on a stone. This act was to be completed with intentionality and purpose, not haphazardly. And to honor God's word, and to honor that altar, and to honor the principles of God was what was going to be that which would see them through in the days to come. We need to remember those who've gone before us, guys. We need to remember those who have paid a price for us. And we must remember that they did it so that we could be blessed and we could receive instruction. We could carry on the torch. The torch, so to speak, or the leadership that was within that which was in the camp of the Hebrews was that which was when one man was now going to be transferred to another, Joshua, and he would lead God's people into a place that flows with milk and honey. As I live today and as I minister God's word to you time and time again, I know one day there's going to be a time where I have to pass on. I have to move on and someone else is going to be shepherding you. Somebody else is going to be guiding you as an overseer. And I share with you this covenant day in and day out because I know that there's life in Jesus' name. And it's a living covenant. And he has made us benefactors of that covenant. And if we choose to live by his word and to do the things the word has asked us to do, we will see blessing upon life's pathway. And we can pass through all the hurt and the shame and the doubts and the fears that we sometimes go through at our altar and see at our personal altar where we die out and let Christ be Christ, Lord be Lord. We can take upon the attributes of God and allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into the image he wants us to be. But we've got to remember that altar of prayer. We've got to remember that place of sacrifice. We've got to be at that place where we remember the importance of God's word and following through. And if you are praying and seeking God and walking after covenant and laying your life down for him, he will bless you. The people of God had to give their sacrifices in direct understanding of what was laid out in the covenant. It had to be done just so in order to be accepted and blessed. And our lives are no different as we lay upon the altar of God in a spiritual sense, in our prayer rooms, in our lives, as we want to carry on the gospel purpose and see us go forth into the promises of God. Amen. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts, church. Hallelujah. I don't know of, quote, an easy way. It's not hard. In a sense, it's not hard. It's much easier than it was sometimes in the Old Testament. But yet, as we follow out our lives in the Lord, we need to do it with honor and respect unto Him. We need to understand that His word is forever settled in heaven, and holy is the Lord. And we need to take God's word and take what He's given us. And as He relates to us and loves on us and shows His affection, to love Him right back and to serve Him with all honor and integrity, see God be glorified. And I promise you, He's got good things headed your way. Hallelujah. He's got good things headed your ways. His Papa loves you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for giving us Your word. And thank You for sharing with us these scriptures of the book of Deuteronomy and otherwise. And thank You, Lord, that You are helping us to understand that there is a way to walk in and walk through to get to where You want us to be. I know, Lord God, we are a generation of shortcutters. I know, God, we kind of want the easiest way all the time. What can I do? I want to take the crib notes, God. I just kind of want to get through somehow. But there's a full process I have to go through. I'm a living sacrifice that wants to be acceptable unto You. And I pray, Lord, purge me. Make me every whit whole. Help me to serve You and honor You. And let me to take Your word and help me to live it out. And let me share witness of Your love. And Lord, go with me every step of the way. And mold me in Your image and Your likeness. And help me, O Lord, to share Your good news as we go forth into the promises of God. And to bring forth a lot of good people into Your kingdom, because they sense and understand that infectious love I just have for You and You with me, and that, God, I can let them know that there's nothing better than knowing Jesus as Lord of their lives. And I know nothing better than loving You each and every day. Bless God's people, Lord. Strengthen them today. Guide them in Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. Hallelujah. I pray that you are encouraged by His word today. Amen.